Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. This is a very special episode, and I say that because I think the majority of you are just listening to my voice right now. You're just listening in, but some of you are watching this video. Maybe you're on our YouTube channel, or maybe we even pushed it as a video on your podcast app. I guess time will tell, but it's very fun for me to break some new ground in 2021, where we wanted to start doing a video version of the podcast. And today's episode, doing a little bit of a pivot from some of the normal guests that I have. As you guys know, we normally bring in marketing leaders, heads of marketing, CMOs, VPs of marketing, heads of demand generation, and bring you these practitioners who have incredible recipes of success. But today is a little bit different. I am joined by Vincent Montano, and Vincent is an account executive at DemandBase. And if you guys are loyal listeners, and if you miss this episode, go back. But I did an episode with Anna Bender, who is on the SDR team at Adobe. And I wanted to bring in a little bit more of the sales perspective to Demand Gen Radio so we can talk about how these rising stars and people who are making a great contribution to the business, their recipes of success. So Vincent, without further ado, great to see you. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this. And I think it's fitting for our love for video that the first video interview is with myself.
Very much so. And you guys are going to understand why, because it's literally how Vince and I met one another. And if you hear me call him Vin, well, you know, his friends call him Vin. And I'm hopeful that I'm on Vincent's friend list. So Vin, let's talk about how we met. And then I want to go back in time. Actually, let's start where we go back in time. You said something to me when we had our first conversation, and you talked about the conversation that you had with your dad. And you said your dad's advice was, if you want to make a lot of money, go into sales or start your own business. I have done both, so great advice from your dad. I did start my career in sales. I worked for Microsoft straight out of school. I was on the US sales and marketing division, and I learned a ton about why people buy, the psychology of buying. So talk to me about that conversation with your dad. Let's go back in time and fast forward to your career and how it's going so far.
Yeah, just for more context, yeah, I grew up in a pretty blue collar family. When I say my dad owned a business, he owned a bike shop when I was younger. So, you know, he wasn't in the tech world, or he knew nothing about this space at all.
Yeah.
But it was just that mindset of like being able to, you know, generate your own income, hustle. And there's a lot of similarities between sales and entrepreneurship that I'm personally just interested in. For sales, you're the CEO of your territory. You get rewarded for the hustle. You know, if I know if I work harder and you know, reach some of my goals, I get rewarded financially. So I think there's some really good overlay there. And it was just, I guess, kind of silly advice from my dad, but it did kind of resonate with me. And that's kind of how I winded up in sales. I knew at a young age I wanted to get into sales. I know most people's stories is like they kind of stumbled into it. Maybe they studied like psychology or history and they stumbled into sales. But at an early age, I always knew I wanted to get into sales.
I got a question for you. Does your dad still own the bike shop?
He doesn't. He's a blue collar guy. He's got a job now. He's not an entrepreneur, but he does like little side projects and things like that. So he's always, that guy will never stop working.
Last night, literally, I was at a bike shop. This is not a sponsored podcast, but I'm just going to give a shout out to Danville Bike downtown. I was talking with Jose, the owner there. If you guys ever make it out to Danville Bikes, you can say, hey, I heard about you on a podcast. Jose is the business owner right there, and their business, they are crushing it. It is crazy. He can't keep enough inventory. And I would say, even though you guys didn't show up to hear about bikes, if you are looking for a New Year's resolution and a great thing to do, get yourself an e-bike. I did several months ago. I love it. I've done over 300 miles on my e-bike. And if people say, oh, you know, I want to get exercise, you can get plenty of exercise on an e-bike. You can control how much power is there. And if you want any advice on different models, because I've definitely gone through that buying process, reach out to me. I love, love, love my e-bike. And I want to thank Jose at Danville Bike for that. So shout out to your dad for being in the early stages. And it's amazing to see, you know, we'll talk about DemandBase a little bit later, But the technology for biking has been incredible. So you, one of the things that in the podcast with Anna that I really profiled was her work ethic in her youth and how much hustle she had as a young girl. And if you guys haven't heard that podcast, definitely go back and listen to it. In fact, we'll put in the show notes a link to it just so you can get to it very quickly. Let's talk about your hustle. You did door-to-door sales as a kid. So over summer, tell us a little bit about, you know, Vin as a young boy and what drove you to want to make some money and what that money was being put towards and the kind of different projects you were doing.
Yeah, I would say the main thing that was like driving me was just independence, really, having my own spending money, whether I wanted to go to the mall with friends or whatever it was at that age.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, growing up, my dad owned bike shops, and there was a point where, you know, the department stores started popping up and they're selling bikes way underpriced from what my dad was selling them at. And there were some points where, you know, I was younger and we were kind of struggling a little bit. So for me not to have to rely on my parents to get money, I guess, to go do things with friends was huge for me. I think I started working at 15 years old. At like a summer camp or something like that. And the way I kind of winded up in door-to-door sales was I knew I wanted to get into sales. I knew that was something I wanted to go down. And when you're younger, you can't really get that great of a quality sales, I guess, internship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things out there are the smile and dials, the cold calling, where you're literally making like hundreds of dials per day. And that was the stuff I was doing in college. And one of my first experiences was selling Verizon Fios, which is like home internet and TV packages door to door. And it was so brutal. Like it was easily the hardest job I ever had. And mind you, it was over the summer in North Jersey. So it was super hot out. I remember I would just be like sweating all day. I think our goal was like 60 houses a day. Mm-hmm. We had a knock on, and we had to get them. We had to commit them to purchase on the spot. Stranger coming to your door and you have to get them to sign a few hundred dollar contract for the year. So, you know, it taught me a lot. I dealt with rejection, like
a lot of doors slammed in your face. I'm sure
so many doors slammed in my face. I had cops called on me. Like it was definitely challenging, but I actually learned a lot. A lot of the principles that I think about in sales where, a lot of things they taught was kind of like fear of missing out. And just being able to stay consistent even when you're faced with rejection.
Yeah. It's great to see that hustle. I can relate. My dad worked for the government. My mom was a school teacher. The toys that I got were normally at the holiday time of the year, not throughout the year. And I have a distinct memory of going down to Val Sports, was our skate shop in town. And I said, you know, Dad, I really want to get a skateboard. And so he took me down and we bought a skateboard. And as we were like in the checkout, I'm like, I need knee pads and gloves. And I think the brand was Rector back at the time or something like that. And he looked at them and they were like $80, $60, $80, somewhere there for the combination of that. He goes, you know, we'll have to get that for you another time. And I knew exactly what he was saying, even though he said different words. And I was thinking like, that's safety equipment, you know, what we do for our kids these days. But it's the reality of that, you know, you wanted stuff. I certainly wanted stuff. The biggest fundraising project that I ever did for myself and my real hustle was to get my first computer, which I wrote about in my book. And that was like such a wonderful best father-son day. It was a day we bought for the computer, but I don't think in the book told the story of how I worked like 8 months selling candy bars, painting curbs, doing landscaping, aka mowing people's lawns, and babysitting and just all this to save up money and go do that together. And I think for every marketer, you know, listening that didn't start a career in sales, one of the things that I want to profile with you as I did with Anna is, you know, finding these people on the team, whether you're on the SDR team reporting to marketing, working with sales, who just have that hustle and have that drive. And it shows up in everything with you, Vin. I want to point out some things. Those of you that are watching the video, I want you to take a look at Vin. He can't see me, just to point this out, but he is engaged with the camera. He can look at a lens. He can look at you guys and engage through a piece of glass. And that is a skill that I think all of us are developing in the era of Zoom and COVID and Microsoft Teams and all the technologies that we're using. So this is a new breed of employee, someone who can engage with prospects and teams through the lens. And he even went so far as you've got a Yeti microphone, which is, I think they're at least $100. And I don't think that was that a company issued device, or did you say, I'm going to get my own good quality microphone?
Yeah. I purchased this on my own, and I had these Beats for a while now. They're kind of beat up. I think they're from like high school, but yeah, I figured I can invest in some stuff that I'm creating videos on LinkedIn, sometimes creating podcasts and being on podcasts. I got like a ring light. So trying to build up over time. I know Dave's got a way better setup with some nice tools there, but yeah, just trying to build it up slowly for sure.
Well, I have a surprise for you, Vin. One of the things, since we're coming up on the holiday season and you're my first video podcast, I don't know if those are called vidcasts. I really don't know. But I have a little care package put together for you of some upgraded gear. So happy holidays and enjoy wow. that. So you've already got good gear, but I'm going to take you to the next level, because I do. You can see from my I've invested in good quality content production equipment, because back in December, before COVID, we said we're going to launch a YouTube channel. And I knew that we'd have to step up our gear. Let's go back to sales.
That's awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel like we're on like Ellen DeGeneres or like the Oprah show.
Everybody gets a microphone. Well, you get some good toys. I won't tell you what it is. I'm going to open it and play Santa for a few minutes.
I'm excited to see that.
I told you guys earlier in the podcast, by the way, when you see me looking here, that's you guys on camera. When you see me looking here, that's Vin. So, the way that we met, I was on LinkedIn responding to probably one of you and reaching out, posting some content, and I see this video pop up, and it's in. And the headline was really good. Let me actually go to LinkedIn and see exactly what it was. Oh, I love it. Did I really get Demandbase's CEO to eat the world's hottest chip on video? Such a good subject line. And if you ever want a career in marketing, maybe you feel like you're in marketing, that's a phenomenal subject line. And the reason is, right, you're asking the reader a question which really engages them in the content. And so I'm like, I know the CEO of Demandbase. I know Gabe. I just had him on a podcast as well, talking about the acquisition of Engageo with John. And I'm like, what's going on there? What's this fun, playful video? And I watched the video, and you did a phenomenal job. Just that. Tell me the backstory of how that video came to be and what prompted you to do that. And one of the reasons I want to talk about it, Vin, just to be fully transparent, is you're a member of the sales team producing content for LinkedIn, and you decide to make a video that involves your CEO and other members of the team. And the reason I really intentionally want to talk about this is this morning, we just had a new member accept an offer. We made an offer to someone.
Nice. Congrats.
He's joining our team. Thank you. And what's really cool about that is when we recruited him, he said, he hasn't given notice, by the way, so who knows how the story ends, but let's assume he makes the team. But the story is important at this point is when I engage with him and he was applying for this role, he said, you know, I'm not really looking. I'm not looking to make a change. And I said, well, what are you looking for? What's different? He goes, well, one thing that I'm really not a fan of, my company really frowns on my LinkedIn involvement. And that was like mind-blowing to me that a company in this day and age would frown on one of their employees participating in corporate publishing of content, you know, content around the business. Now, we'll talk about whether that video is really around your business or not, but kudos to you for not only being active on LinkedIn, which is something that you do every single day as part of your prospecting, but to produce a piece of content. And, you know, he accepted the offer. And one of the things I said to him during his interview process is, I'm really looking forward to making content with him. He has some phenomenal expertise in marketing automation and CRM systems. And I want to profile that content because my team is the people that everybody works with. So their expertise is great. But how did yours, like, what prompted you to do that and take us into the making and production of your CEO and the rest of the team eating the world's hottest chip?
Yeah, so, you know, it's, I think what first off, I'm blessed that at Demandbase, they really encourage everybody to develop their own personal brand, because it's mutually beneficial for both parties. For me, I'm building my personal brand, and who knows, may lead to an opportunity down the road. But also at the same time, they're checking out my profile and they're saying, well, what's demand base? What is this demand base I keep seeing? You know, this Vin works for demand base. What's that about? So it's mutually beneficial for both sides. So I'm lucky where demand base like really promotes it. Like we have a LinkedIn Slack channel, everyone shares each other's posts and we engage on each other's content. The idea for the video for the world's hottest chip came from the acquisition of demand base and Engageo. And we were trying to promote the launch of our new combined platforms. And when I was trying to figure out ways to do that, how to help promote it. And in one of the trainings we had, John Miller was walking through an acronym called FIRE. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go through it too much, but basically it's a way for building an account-based foundation and kind of creating a target account list and things like that. So there was an acronym FIRE, and one of my favorite shows on YouTube is Hot Ones, where they eat spicy chicken wings. So I figured we can kind of take something from there, but also kind of explain the acronym of FIRE during the video. So I came up with the idea to, we purchased, it's a box, comes on Amazon. So it's one chip. I don't even know the Scoville, but it's incredibly hot and it's not a great time. And we came up with the idea to just get different members of the team, try to explain the definition while eating the chip. And it was like really funny. It did way better than I actually thought. I just thought it was a silly idea. And I was like, you know what? This would be a good video to put out. And it did a lot better than expected. I think we're at like close to 30,000 views on it. And that's just my post. It was shared from a lot of different people as well. And one of the cool things about it is, you know, me and my one buddy were trying to figure out who we should have involved in this video. Mm-hmm. And we jokingly said we should ask Gabe, our CEO. And it was just a joke at first. We're like, we're not really going to ask him to do that. And then it got to the point where we needed one person and we're like, let's just shoot for it. Let's just see. And he literally was like, I'm in, let's do it. And he ordered the chip like the same day. So he was so bought into it, which made it even better. And for us, we're trying to find ways to not only promote demand base, which we do want to do, but also, you know, promote ourselves, build our own brand. Mm-hmm. And I think if I can find a way to do both at the same time, that kills two birds with one stone. And I think also LinkedIn is moving into a different kind of structure where it's way more individualized. So if I shared that video on my LinkedIn, but also demand base shared that same exact video on demand base LinkedIn, that video I don't think would have done as well. Mm-hmm. Just because the way the platform's changing, and people want to see Vin post that video, right? They don't want to see demand base post that video. Right. So I think that's another thing that helped with the success of it.
Yeah. You bring up, just to digress for a second, about the algorithm, the LinkedIn algorithm, and it's something that we all try to figure out, and I struggle with it a little bit because we do a trailer for every podcast. So this podcast will no doubt have a trailer. And when we post that video, they don't get as much impressions as if posting a static image on LinkedIn, which to me is really behind the times, or maybe there's a reason for the algorithm to do that and suppress it. So the fact that actually you have 30,000 views on a video is really significant, because you had to get a lot of engagement for it to basically tell the LinkedIn algorithm, you know what, you should push this video a little bit more because people seem to be engaging with it.
Yeah, and Dave, not to cut you off, the video was over 3 minutes long, which is like, that's a big no-no. Everyone's saying, get your videos to a minute and a half. Like this video was, I think it was definitely over 3 minutes. So it was a long video.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of thing where it's just like kind of going against the algorithm, if you will.
Yeah. Just for all of you who make content, I can tell you from looking at our own YouTube stats that the average watch time of a video is about, I think on our channel, about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, 2 minutes and 50 seconds. So, you know, whatever the 3 minute threshold is, you know, that's what you get. Now, a lot of the people who watch our videos on YouTube found them, about, I think, 40% or something like that. Quote me on it, but is from search. So somebody's searching for like how to do something in Pardot, or how to do something in Marketo, or how to do lead scoring. Or in fact, we've done a video with you guys on an Engageo demo. So if they're searching for like, what is Engageo or how does it work? Those videos will come up. So that's a new visitor to the channel. So you get a little bit of a bounce rate. They might watch a few minutes of the video and decide not to watch the rest of it if it's for some reason not interesting. So it is good practice to have short. We also are working in an attention deficit disorder environment these days, and going back to the days of MTV, when content on TV changed and the short form scene changing content. Like, I look forward to the time when this is our very first video, Vin, on Demand Gen Radio, and there's one static scene that you and I are in, which I'll show you what it looks like after we're done. But we should be changing the scene. As I'm talking right now, that should be a close-up of me. And then when you talk, it should be a close-up of you moving back and forth, which you've seen with folks like Joe Rogan and all that. So we're all on a content journey. And I, again, kudos for just taking the initiative and making an interesting video, one that people are entertained by, which was the big hook there. At the same time, getting your company message across. You had some inspiration. Let's talk about Gary Vee. I'm sure a lot of people listening to the program may or may not know Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary runs an agency, a bunch of different agencies out of New York City. He's prolific on YouTube, and he's prolific and really well watched with, I would say, folks of your generation, Vin, who, you know, watching him master his craft from a public speaking perspective, as well as his YouTube and his Instagram, all the things that Gary does. Talk to me about the people that have inspired you to go on and produce content and work on your personal brand.
Yeah, you know, Gary's definitely up there for me in terms of like an inspiration in that aspect. Some of the stuff I'm doing on LinkedIn, though, I don't know if Gary Vee's would be that much of an influence for the stuff I'm doing on LinkedIn. For me, I don't know. It's just like, I enjoy consuming content. Like, I don't watch TV at all. I don't own a cable box. I literally don't watch TV, but I watch tons of YouTube and I watch tons of interviews. I listen to podcasts. I like to read. So for me, it's just, I don't know. I think it's a collection of things. I think my biggest inspiration is these more newer aged kind of interview styles where it's more casual. Mm-hmm. So even when you think about like late night talk shows, like those are always fun to watch. It's very, you know, not as serious, but the guy doing the interview, let's say like a Jimmy Fallon, he's in a suit and he's behind a desk. Mm-hmm. To me, this doesn't really resonate with me. Like, I prefer the more casual setting where two people may be sitting down, they could be on a couch or whatever it is. Like, I think that's the way that the content needs to be kind of getting pushed out nowadays, is it needs to be a little bit more casual. And that's what I keep in mind when I'm trying to create content, specifically on LinkedIn. Like, for example, creating a video where we're eating the world's hottest chip is not professional, quote unquote. It's not business oriented or formal, if you will, but we're talking about something that's business related and we're making it fun. So I think whenever I create a post, that's my main like goal, is like, okay, how can I sound less robotic? How can this be more fun? Mm-hmm. And how can we stand out? And I think that's like the genesis of it.
When I started my career, I mentioned it at Microsoft, and I was 22 years old. I'll tell you what my closet looked like: 5 suits. And you know, I went with my mom, went with my dad. We went to store in downtown Los Angeles, and I bought my first 5 suits, and I had, you know, the double breasted suit. I don't know if you've ever even owned one of those, but I had the double breasted suit.
Those are sweet.
Yeah, it was a good look back then, and it was nice and dark, and I had a gray suit and I had a blue suit. Like, I had all the different variants, and literally a work week was Monday this suit, Tuesday this suit, Wednesday this suit. And I was kind of a little OCD where if I was going and meeting with Lockheed or Hughes Aircraft, I would note what suit that I wore, so that when I went back and met with them another time, I was making sure that I was changing my shirt, my tie, or ideally the suit, so I wasn't showing up, you know, with one of my 5 suits. But that was the uniform. And I did, was very involved at a young age doing large presentations, and would present to like audiences of like 2,000 people, demoing how the Mac worked and doing things for Apple and Microsoft. So I wasn't uncomfortable being on stage, but the only time that I really remember feeling super uncomfortable is I walked off stage and I went, and you know, people would come up and talk about the content, but this one woman walked up and she goes, I want you to know that was a really, really good presentation, but I have some feedback for you. I'm like, she goes, I think your tie is a little too mature for your age. And I was like,
wow,
I really appreciate you telling me that, thank you. And I never wore that tie again. and over time, you know, Vin, throughout my career, the corporate uniform has certainly changed. And this year, it changed for everybody, this year being 2020. And, you know, men, women, all of us dressing differently, and yet being more in the eye of more people than we probably ever have been, because we're all on video all the time. Today, as you can see, I'm wearing the Demand Gen branded sweatshirt and the Demand Gen t-shirt. And one of the reasons I'm wearing a sweatshirt is because our building heat has been out on and off for the last couple of weeks. I think they finally got it sorted out. You're wearing a jean jacket for those that can't see. He's got a jean jacket and what looks like a mock turtleneck or
wearing a thermal because it's snowing in the Northeast here, so I gotta jealous. You know, keep warm a little bit.
I look out my window and all I see is sun, so I'm jealous. I grew up in Long Island. I love waking up in the snow, but it's nice to be comfortable at work, and you can be super, super productive if you're very comfortable. Developers, my son-in-law is a software developer at Workday, and you know, he dresses very casual, always has his entire career. So it is nice, but you know, it's also nice to dress up too. And I love going to conferences and putting on some nice new clothes or whatever we're doing. But I think, you know, bring it back to sales. Today's a normal sales day for you, and that's your uniform. And you're performing at the top of your game. Vin's doing very, very well this year. Already has surpassed his sales goal for the year. Congratulations, by the way.
Appreciate it.
We, as of this morning, was up at 6 a.m., saw an email from Voss, closed notification of another deal, and we are now past our company goal for the year, new logo goal. So lots
Congrats.
Of reasons to celebrate. Thank you, especially in a year like this. So, and you worked hard to do that. Let's give some advice to marketing. For the people that are listening in, you're in sales, you're talking to marketing. What do you really look for and want from them in order for you to be successful? I want the truth, the candor. It can be anything. Like, I don't want anything for marketing, or these are the sets of, you know, assets, content, processes. What helps make you truly successful from marketing supporting you?
Well, I could speak for a demand base. I would say the relationship between marketing and sales is really, really great. We love working with our marketing team. And although when I was an SDR, we technically rolled up to revenue, we worked so closely with marketing that at times I felt like we rolled up to marketing. And I think a lot of things that help us is around the support of, you know, back before COVID, I used to love the direct mail campaigns. Having budget for that was always great. Having content now as an AE, having content to send as follow-up that is very specific on maybe certain things that I'm talking with prospects. Because it's always good to send follow-up, and the more kind of specific things we can have in that we have generated and I can send over to prospects, I think will help out a lot. But honestly, no complaints from demand base. We work really well together. And I think the biggest thing as well is, I think doubling down on some of the content on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm seeing companies like really crush it with that. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, I can say Gong, which is like the go-to example for everybody, but really they double down on like social media and social media marketing, not even from LinkedIn, but on Twitter and all other platforms. And I think it's, to be honest, I don't know their overall growth strategy, but it definitely has to help with their growth strategy and definitely helps with their brand awareness. So I think there's a new kind of strategy of like marketing working with sales. Obviously, we can talk about the ABM approach, which is huge. But I think just from like an awareness standpoint, mm-hmm. I think it's shifting from just like traditional media to original content, to be honest.
Yeah. So the relationship starting with that is super important. I agree with you. We definitely take LinkedIn very seriously. I think we can do even more in terms of getting our employee base to publish their content and expertise. You said something earlier that I want to make sure that people do hear and think about. We have an internal channel. Some of you use Slack, we use Glip, you know, some of you use Microsoft Teams. We have an internal channel called LinkedIn Love. So when someone posts on LinkedIn, they'll let the team know about that. And if you guys want to game the system a little bit, it's really important when a piece of content goes out that there are likes and comments within that very first minutes that will absolutely accelerate the algorithm in terms of exposure. So that's a great tip for you guys to make sure that you get some engagement from some people very quick after a post. You're right about Gong crushing it in terms of their engagement presence on LinkedIn. Why does that matter? You talked to me about the fire video and you said, what was really cool is when I do outreach and prospect people, they're like, wait, you're the guy who made the video. They're familiar with that content, and that brings, you know, helps the relationship, helps the rapport. Tell me more about that. What some of those conversations have led to as you're doing your outreach and digress to the video.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most shocking thing from it is that when you create a post like that, it leaves a good taste in your customers' mouths, right? It's like it's a fun brand that they're working with now. It's not just some like stale, oh, they're working with demand base. It creates some fun. One of the videos that we did was when we just acquired Engageo. This mm-hmm. was back over the summer. And one of the ideas that I had to help promote it, which everyone was on the same board, like everybody is like, how can we promote it? Whether it's just a text post or just creating a stationary LinkedIn post or getting creative with video, the whole company was on the same boat. So one of the ideas that I came up with was one of the beginning scenes from an Usher music video, I think it's Confessions. He's like on the phone and there's like some dialogue. So I basically put myself side to side with Usher, basically telling him the news about Engageo. And it was a really silly video. And I never expect these to like pop off. And this one, it's same thing. It winded up trending the same amount, as the chip video that we talked about earlier. And a lot of people were messaging me about it that I was currently in sales cycles with, saying they saw the Usher video and they want to learn more about the new demand based product.
I thought that was well done. I'm gonna find that one because you did some. Let's see, can I get to that? Yeah, I called Usher to let him know the news about demand based and Engageo, and he couldn't believe it. Still waiting for him to call me back though, and it was really clever editing the way that you did that. Very very good. I think we can put a link to LinkedIn in the comments. Even though it's in network, obviously you need to log into LinkedIn for it, but I think you all do, but we'll make sure we link to the posts and get the folks here with us today, get all of you to be able to see these things, because very clever marketing by Vin and good in engagement. That one, almost 22,000 views, 179 comments, great engagement. So what's the content plan for 2021, or is there even a content plan? Are these random acts of Vin, or is this going to be an intentional calendar of clever content next year?
Yeah, so we were talking about this when we chatted a week and a half ago or so. So most of the time they're kind of random. I try to get on some sort of schedule where I'm at least posting once a week on LinkedIn, whether that's a text post or whatever. In terms of the videos, we're trying to get to a point where we're producing at least one a month. So I have a team member, his name's Jake, and we try to meet at least once a week sometimes to find like 15 minutes just to chat. And we brainstorm some ideas. Sometimes they're from just a personal brand point of view because we both just enjoy making videos. Sometimes they're from a sales point of view. Sometimes they're from a demand-based point of view or an ABM point of view. So we're working on a few right now that we should actually have two out this month. To be honest, the overall strategy is something I'm still working on. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat where it's like, some posts do well and you want to maybe try to replicate it and build upon that. And some posts flop, right? I have posts that definitely flop I put out something and I think it's good and it doesn't do that good. So I think everyone's in the same boat of like, what strategy are we going with? And for me, I'm in a lot of different, avenues, right? I'm in, I have a big sales following, marketing, digital, all these different ones. I'm also personally just interested in like e-com and entrepreneurship, which mm-hmm. I don't have any content or experience in, mm-hmm. But I'm just personally interested in it. So it's like, how can we kind of fall into all these different categories and make content that me personally, I just enjoy to make. Cause at the end of the day, this is something I just enjoy to do.
Yeah.
And it's not something I'm getting paid on where it's like, hey, you have to make videos about right. X, Y, and Z. It's like, I could just make a video tomorrow about, the work from home struggles, which we did one time when we talked about, we were wearing suits on the top and we got up and we had all crazy bottoms. I had like basketball shorts on and I was dribbling a basketball. So I think that's the beauty of it. No firm strategy in place.
I like the random acts of content. They sometimes pay off. A short story was, I was supposed to be producing a Demand Gen TV episode for our YouTube channel. And Sabrina, our head of marketing operations, you guys have probably watched some of the episodes with her if you're on her YouTube. We had to change our schedule. And we didn't want to not produce a video for the week because we make videos every single week. And so I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a video of Canva and how I use Canva to create images and post on LinkedIn. It's one of the most watched videos on our YouTube channel. That was a complete random act. It took me, I think, a total of 10 minutes to make and record the video because all it was show and tell, like, here's what I do, here's how I create it, download it, post it, boom, and gets a lot of views. And I've actually had a lot of connections on LinkedIn from people who say, hey, thanks for the Canva tutorial. It really helped me with my image game on LinkedIn. So yeah, sometimes the random acts are good. Here's my secret, Vin, for all of you in terms of how we do content planning here. You can't see it, but I'll show you afterwards. They can. I've got a whiteboard right behind me. And that whiteboard, I draw a circle in the middle of it. And in the very middle of the circle is like the focus of what the channel is. So for the YouTube channel, it's showing the methods and technologies for driving growth. And I circle that right in the middle. And then I just mind map off of that and do a branch. And a branch off of that might be how Demand Gen does Demand Gen. Like, why don't we show how we at Demand Gen do Demand Gen? Then I'll do another branch, which is what are the various tools and technologies for doing that? So I'll have a branch in MarTech, for example, have a branch in sales tech. And then I'll have another branch, which is what do other people do? Practitioners like yourself, other marketers. And so I just mind map off of there, but it all connects to that central theme, but it allows my brain to just think, what are all the different, you know, channels, if you will, you know, categories of different content. And then I'll do sub branches off of that. And that's how exactly we did the demo of Engageo on our YouTube channel, which off that spline, off that, you know, MarTech tools area, you know, were different branches of which MarTech tools should we show. And so we've been doing that. We did one with Bombora. We did one with Engageo. We've done one about Sendoso. We keep adding more and more. Just recorded one with Drift yesterday. So that's how I do it, Vin. I hope it helps. There's not a branch for random acts of content, but I strongly encourage to do that. Let's talk about demand base for a bit. Every single week, multiple times a week, I have people reaching out to me and to our team about their ABM strategy. And one of the key questions they ask, I can think of four conversations I've had this week alone with marketing leaders at various companies, large and mid-size, saying, Dave, I need to learn everything there is to know about ABM. I've been told to kick off an ABM initiative. What's the processes? What's the methodologies? What's the tools that I should look at? And so I have my, you know, playbook for those questions, those topics. You guys come to it. Demandbase is a leader in the ABM area. The acquisition of Engageo really strengthens your offering. Talk to me about what it's like to sell ABM tools and technologies to marketers.
One of my favorite things about, I guess, quote unquote, selling an ABM tool to a marketer from a salesperson point of view is sales is so much involved in ABM. So it's, to me, I can personally share my stories of like how internally demand base works between marketing and sales. You know, we're both aligned on the same target accounts. We have our main quote unquote DB4K, our main 4,000 accounts. Then we have another tier that's our AE top 30. So every AE has their top 30 accounts. And marketing is involved in every process of that. So when the SDR I work with and I are reaching out to my AE top 30 accounts, marketing also has their own campaigns going on for any account that's flagged with this AE top 30. And that's to me, I love talking about that because I know it because we're doing that actually at demand base. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm trying to, one of the things I struggled with wrapping my head around is when I first started into this AE role and I was selling to marketers, CMOs, I've been in marketing for 20 years. I'm like, well, what say do I have, right? Mm-hmm. I've never personally been a marketer and I'm trying to, you know, tell them how to do their job, basically. And that's something that I was always battling with internally in my own head. But then when I started just remembering, like, we do this every day. Like, we work with marketing. I know exactly how our marketing team does it and how our sales team interacts with them and just share that.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing. And now that I'm building up a little book of business, I can share how some clients that I work with are actually doing it. But I think that's the beauty is, like, both marketing and sales know the accounts that we're both going after, and our messaging is also matching each other. So while, you know, the advertising campaigns are focused on particular message based on their overall, you know, stage of the buyer's journey, our SDR team has cadences that are built out with similar messaging based on where they're at in their buyer's journey. And I think that's the beauty of it.
You just brought up the word, the C word, cadences. And I remembered you triggered a conversation that we had, which is the same thing that Anna told me as well. So two top performing reps, by the way, Anna went on to get promoted after the podcast, I think within about a month after the podcast. So maybe good things will follow you as well, especially after having a great year. But Vin, you guys said the same thing. You don't follow the recipe book that is handed out of the cadences and the scripts. You kind of go your own path. And because both you and Anna crush it every year, you kind of get to get away with that. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you decided to develop your own outreach and cadences and variants off of what was provided to you. That would certainly, for the people listening, be like, wait a second, we're taking all this time and putting these cadences together and using tools like Outreach and Sales Loft. And this guy who's performing really well, he's not following that playbook. What do you think?
Yeah, I, like I said, I think there's a place for cadences. And me personally, I just didn't see success doing it. And I just doubled down on what I saw success in. So when I first started at DemandBase, like 2.5 years ago, the whole idea of like cadences was huge. And we had just brought on Outreach, and everybody who had these built out cadences that brought them through this journey and the messaging was really nice, actually. But for me, it just didn't resonate with me. I did all these kind of sales internships where I told you it was just a numbers game, and I was kind of over that. And I always just enjoyed creating content or finding creative ways to get people's attention. And I just started personalizing emails. I started grabbing things from LinkedIn, Twitter, started finding content that my prospects were featured on. And I started seeing quick success in doing that. And I just kind of ditched the cadences. I didn't really put too much time or effort into my cadences or even use them. And like I said, I started doubling down on that. And what I noticed that I was personalizing all my emails off of three things. So now it's like a structure for a cold call, email, LinkedIn connection request, anything. Is I'm personalizing it based off the individual I'm reaching out to. I'm then personalizing it based off the company or industry I'm reaching out to. And lastly, I check my CRM to make sure I can add any relevancy. Maybe we talked to them in the past before. Maybe they evaluated us. Maybe they're net new. They have no idea who DemandBase is. So all that's really important to know. And that's the three things I look for. And every email I send, Dave, if I was prospecting you, I would look on your LinkedIn. I would Google search your name and I would reference something that you were featured in. Tie it in, the segue back into the demand-based value prop and how that ties into your industry, how we work with other people, other companies in your industry. And then I would close it off by saying, hey, I know you're friendly with John Miller and Gabe Rogel, our CEO, and you're very much familiar with DemandBase. You know, would you be interested in kind of walking through some of the updates that we recently released or something like that?
Yeah.
And that'd be the entire flow of every single email. And yeah. And once you have that system down, it was really easy to personalize.
And you said that person, company, industry, and Vin, I know this. You have that on a post-it or something right up in front of you, don't you? Yeah,
I did.
It's a checklist. Yeah, you took the time to say, like, I got to check all the boxes every time I do this, and good for you for doing that. And another question for you about the persona of the marketer going down the ABM journey. We all know that ABM is not a casual game. It is not. It's not a pickup ball game. You got to be really intentional. It's a journey. It requires some of the best sales and marketing alignment to ever achieve success. When you talk to a prospect, can you tell whether they are going to succeed or fail with ABM early on in the conversations?
Yeah, I can usually get a judge of where they're at. And I wouldn't say succeed or fail. I think that's two extremes, I think, but how much time it would take to see success, I think is how we would shift it. Because one of the things, like, I had a conversation yesterday with a sales leader. Usually we speak with a lot of marketers first off, and they were so aligned. They had these like tiered system target account lists out, and those type of people that are already aligned with marketing and sales going after these target accounts in a tiered system without any tech, those people get it and they'll see success really quick. And then there's other scenarios where marketing and sales operate completely siloed of one another. And we have customers a ton that we bring on that we kind of work on that relationship and they see success. But that's the biggest kind of hurdle, is like, we have to kind of shift our mindset to say, these are the target accounts that the company is focused on. It's not here's the accounts that marketing's focused on. And then also sales has their accounts. So I think that's the biggest thing that I look for, is like, what's their maturity level of ABM? Are you guys aligned on accounts or are you not? And I think that's the easiest thing to look for.
Right on.
Yeah.
Who is the best person by name to demo demand-based one inside your company? What do you think that is?
Ooh.
Or top of the game, top three. The reason I'm asking is because we've done, you know, the demo of Engageo on our YouTube channel. And now that it's been integrated into the platform and there's a bigger offering, I want to invite you guys back to do an updated demo. So who is that? Who should I ask for?
Wow, there's so many that come to mind. John Miller obviously is super passionate about it, and he's the one that obviously started demoing everything first. He was the first demo I saw of demand-based one was from John Miller.
Okay,
so he's the first person I think of, and then I think our SE team is just killer. One of the SEs I work with, Eric Peltzman, they're just incredible. They blow me away. Let's see, who else?
You know, John Miller was the first podcast on Demand Gen Radio, first guest. On Demand Gen Radio ever. Yeah. So yeah, John,
full circle.
John's quality there. All right, I'll follow up with you on that. Let's talk about one last topic, and that is words of advice that you have for people who are not doing what you're doing. Where do they start? What steps should they take now that you've gone down that road of developing personal branding, developing content for the company, and doing some of the very clever outreach that you're doing? Where do you get started if people are listening to this and either they aren't doing that themselves or they want to direct their teams to do it? Because I am 100% on board with having your employee base have developed their own personal brand and have a presence on social media, and the ones like yourselves that can tie that expertise and passion back to the company. Phenomenal. But let's not squash people's voices, anyone's voices today in the fear of the old school thinking of like, you know, I got to contain the message. I just not on board with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two parts to your question. One is around like, how should you start with personal branding or just creating content in general? For me, I still struggle with like, what should I focus on? And when I first started creating content on LinkedIn, it was just not good. And I don't even know what I was creating. I was creating consistently, which is a good thing. And I guess I found out what didn't work. One of the things that really motivated me to double down on my content creation was I was sharing just like articles I thought were interesting. And I was like motivational stuff, and they were just completely flopping. And one day, you know, I would share my wins that I was getting with my, you know, personalized approach, and I was sending creative gifts or creating these like silly videos, sending the prospects. And I would share those internally in like my SDR meetings, and like everybody loved it. I thought it was like entertaining and it was useful, tactical. So one day I was like, you know, maybe I'll share one of my wins on LinkedIn that I got. And that's what I did. And I created a post about how I got the attention of one of my prospects. They came in, my AE closed the deal at the time. Long story short, I got invited to a Gary Vee event, and I got to meet Gary Vaynerchuk from that prospecting effort, and I made a post about it. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then from there, like that post went crazy. It got like almost 1 million views, and my LinkedIn connection request like flooded. And from there, I was like, okay, this is interesting content. Like this is stuff I'm doing every day that I just never thought to make a post about. So now I'm trying to think of like, what would be helpful for somebody from a day-to-day point of view? And for someone that's looking to get started, share your day-to-day. What are you currently working on? What's something that you screwed up on and that the next day you improved upon? All this stuff is useful for somebody. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think of this and I have this term, you know, compounding opportunities. I think of, I can create a LinkedIn post that, you know, in my head can just be okay. Maybe it does decent. Maybe I get a few likes here and there, but if I create one new connection from that post, who knows what that will lead to? Like, for example, you know, we're doing a podcast together right now. At the surface level, we're doing a podcast. Down the line, somebody can listen to this podcast, get introduced to me. An opportunity can arise down the road, whether I'm, you know, selling to them because I'm a salesperson, or whether I'm, you know, joining their team, or, you know, something else happens, right? So that's how I think about it, is just start small. Think about things you can share on your day-to-day that you're currently working on right now. And it could be a fail. You could share fails. Those are the greatest lessons, and just continue at it. And then once you kind of get into a groove, I would actually, you know, sit down, carve some time out to actually think about what kind of posts you want to do. So I have like a rolling doc on my phone where we have ideas with me and my one coworker of posts that we want to do, and we have scripts that we work on, and slowly just build it up over time. Nice. I would strongly advise that.
I have a great advice. Vin, thank you. Enjoy your holiday gift when you arrive at. For all of you, before I sign off, couple little action items. One, if you're listening to this on the podcast and you're not seeing us, when you get a chance, go to demandgen.tv, go to the YouTube channel, and you'll find this episode. But when you get there, click on subscribe so that you get notifications of every new episode. I would love to hear your feedback, you guys. You know I love feedback. I crave it. What do you think of this format about doing not just a podcast, the audio, but doing a video cast? I mean, you're just looking at Vin and I, but to me, it feels engaging, and I really enjoy seeing you, Vin, as we're having this great conversation. You're sharing your advice. So I'd love to have you guys as a subscriber on the podcast as well as the YouTube channel. And hey, if you're going down the ABM journey and you want to check out some really cool technology and meet Vin, I'm sure you know he'd be happy to give you a demo and show up. But you guys also see a demo. I'll take an action item and get someone on the team to come and show you the new demand-based one. That's going to do it for this episode of Demand Gen Radio. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hope you guys had a good holiday if you're listening to this after the first of the year. And really looking forward to seeing you guys literally in 2021. All right? Take care.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.